Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Who Be the Heroes for our final episode, where the Knights of the Round Table are back, going to close off our discussion on the Greek heroes today. So after going through and introducing heroes, and then moving on to each picking a hero, discussing them more in depth, we're here to close it out, have a little debate, and maybe not even see who the true hero is, because I don't think any of us even came to a conclusion on that. I think more than anything, we realize that there aren't heroes in the Greek Odyssey and the Iliad. So we're just here to wrap it up a little and to give our final closing thoughts.
I think to begin, we should start off with Madeline's podcast about Patroclus and just some of the points that she made and whether or not we agreed with her. One of the big points that she made in her podcast was that she was so disappointed in the fact that there were the characters or the perceived heroes had so many flaws. And I think this is something we all saw throughout our characters, is that none of them were really perfect. They all had their own issues, and this doesn't really go hand in hand with today's definition of a hero. They're perceived as perfect most of the time. And so that was kind of a conclusion that I made from all of the podcasts.
I'd agree with that. And I'd also say with Patroclus, something that Madeline noticed was he was always kind of seen as the sidekick of Achilles. He was seen as lower than Achilles and kind of not as a good warrior in a way. And he tried to get the Cleos that Achilles had. He tried to push forward, but he ends up being killed by Hector. So I find this interesting, because I don't think he was ever destined to be a hero. I know multiple times people got annoyed because Homer would have Zeus go on a long tangent about exactly what's going to happen in this way and that. So it shows that the gods had a plan for everyone, or at least they had in mind what was going to happen. And the fact that the only moment when Patroclus tried to chase heroicism, he ended up dying immediately and being buffeted back. So I think this just goes to show that it's really the gods who have the hand over who choose. And that some of them were destined to be heroes and some of them, frankly, weren't. And there's nothing
what I find they really could have done individually actually, to stop or think change that. A lot of the characters aren't actively chasing heroism. Like, I think Achilles and Odysseus are. I think they know their talents and I think they know how great they are. But I think a lot of our other characters weren't like, I'm going to go out and do these amazing acts so that I get recognition and glory. I think that's what separates a lot of our perceived heroes from Homer's heroes.
I would agree with that. I think with Patroclus, I feel like he's more of a hero that we would see today, because as Madeline said, his the reason for him going out and fighting was a lot more selfless. He was motivated by Achilles because they had known each other for so long. And like Madeline said, it was like a twin kind of a thing. So I feel like that Patroclus is someone more like we would see of a hero today than the Greek heroes, which I think definitely shows the shift in what a hero means to someone.
So then we have Silo's Odysseus. And what I find interesting about this, and I didn't even realize this until we started recording, was that Silo was the only one that picked a hero from the Odyssey. We had all picked characters from the Iliad, which is neither here nor there, but I think Silo said that Odysseus comes across as a really loyal character, and I didn't perceive him that way. In fact, I thought he was really immature, and I saw this reflected in his like Telemachy, which we talked about in one of our discussion boards, how it's like sort of this coming of age story. And I see Odysseus's coming of age in the same way that I see Telemachus's coming of age. Like, they're both having this let's grow up moment, which can help or hinder the argument for Odysseus's heroism, because if he is growing up and trying to become more loyal and learn about his life and sort of overcoming this midlife crisis that he's going through, then he is working to become a better character and therefore could be a hero.
Yeah, I also find it interesting that the two books were really about Achilles and they were about Odysseus. And even Scylla admitted that Odysseus might not be seen as a hero. He was cruel. He was a incessant liar. And he just had a bunch of fatal character flaws, it seemed like. And I'm pretty sure in every single one of our podcasts as well, we dogged on Achilles at some point. None of us said that he was a hero either. In even the Greek sense sometimes. So I find it interesting that out of all the characters, the two that Homer tried to portray as great and gave their own epics to and really give the most attention to were in a way
I'd like to argue actually that like Odysseus's lying was a lot more helpful than hurtful. Like I when I was reading about it, I saw it a lot more as like I guess smart and very I don't know how else to describe it, so I'll just, you know. But just in the fact that he was able to get out of so many situations without having to rely on his strength. Like, that to me is a factor of his intelligence. And I really, like, enjoyed those stories when he was lying and stuff just to, you know, see if people were loyal or, you know, even with, yeah, the Cyclops and stuff. I always thought that was super interesting to me. And I didn't ever really see it as a flaw. I just saw it as, I guess, a better way to look at a hero, because sometimes it just sort of gets boring to watch a hero fight his way out of every single circumstance. So it was like a different sort of like mood change that I enjoyed.
I would agree with you on that. And we learned in the Iliad that Odysseus was this great tactician, and that was something he was really known for. So I think it makes sense that he would use lying and manipulation to get out of situations where, like, he could have just tried to take on all of his men and tried to fight the Cyclops and fought his way out of every situation. But he was able to avoid that by using his intelligence and lying. And I don't blame him for lying in some circumstances, because you don't want all of these people out there if you have to fight yourself out of a situation knowing who you are at the time, because then they could rouse the alarms. Odysseus's name carries a lot of weight. So I don't blame him for lying to test loyalty when there are so many people out after him, especially once he gets home to Ithaca.
I agree with what you guys both said about that. And I think like Homer almost praises Odysseus for his lying. And I think that's just interesting that we look at it in such a different light. And Homer even calls him like the resourceful Odysseus. And so he's just using his resources, I guess, in a way to benefit himself or the situation that he's in.
I also really liked, Scylla, that you mentioned that Odysseus cries and how a lot of people would see that as weak.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, that's something that it humanizes him and it makes him more relatable and like a better overall character to show that he has like emotions. Like, I feel like a lot of superheroes today, they have weak moments where they like break down or they're like panicking or whatever. And it just makes us like them more because it makes them more like us.
I agree with you. I think we almost perceive Odysseus as godlike. I mean, we do perceive him that he is godlike, but he's really not. He doesn't come from gods. Like, he's just human. And so I think it's important to remember that, and we can see that through his weaknesses.
I forget whose podcast came next. I think it was Elizabeth's or Audrey's. It probably doesn't matter, but Agamemnon was a really interesting character study for a bunch of reasons. He kind of acts as like this like opposite character to Achilles, and I find this really interesting. The like literary term for this is a character foil. And I see this represented in a lot of different characters. I think Agamemnon is presented as a character foil. I think that's important because he is kind of problematic in the same way that Achilles is, and they're both kind of petty and both of their actions sort of backfire for themselves and the people around them. But I'm wondering what that says about Agamemnon. Like, why do we think of him still as a lesser character? Is it because he's mortal?
I think part of that might have to do with how he died, because he returned home after war, and then he was murdered by his wife and her lover. And so he didn't die a heroic death at all. So I'm wondering if that has something to do with how we perceive him.
I also feel like he made, like, one stupid mistake after another. Like, throughout the books, when I was reading about him, like, he didn't really ever learn, I guess. He would just make a mistake, and then, like, a bunch of consequences would come, and then he would quickly try to, like, fix it as best he could. But, like, he didn't ever grow aware to the fact that he kept hurting people, and it kept backfiring on him.
Yeah, Audrey, I liked your definition of a hero when you mentioned that they're more of a problem than a model. I feel like Agamemnon fits this better than anyone. He almost lost the Trojan War multiple times between putting Achilles in a rage and almost sending all the troops home. And even there's a scene when he wants to truly send them all home when the Trojans are at the ships and Diomedes has to convince him not to. So Elizabeth mentioned there's a difference between him as a good king versus a bad hero. But I think he's even a bad king and a bad war leader. I mean, just because he almost lost the war. And I just find it really ironic with Agamemnon especially, that he put Achilles into a rage because he stole his woman. And then to come back and be killed by his true wife shows the irony. And it just, by Homer granting him a bad death, and really an embarrassing death, I really don't think Agamemnon is seen as a hero either, especially in the eyes of Homer, who really seems to only point out his flaws. Because we don't know what happened the other 10 years of the war. Agamemnon could have been a great leader or a great hero, but in the few days that we saw of him, everything he seemed to do,
I think that's really important to this whole argument, right? We're looking at all of these characters through Homer's perspective. And I think Elizabeth brought this up, like, whether the characters existed or not in real life. Yeah. But we are only seeing one point of view on all of these characters. So we're having all of our opinions on them shaped by this one story, which is potentially dangerous to the idea of hero.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Especially because, I mean, as we've said before, there's a big difference between the heroes we see now and the heroes that we would see in, like, a classic Greek mythology. Only looking at one side of a character is really dangerous, especially if we don't know if they existed. Because, I mean, Homer was most likely multiple sources compiled into one, but we also don't know how much of each of those sources they had. Like, we don't know how much they knew about Agamemnon. We don't know how much they knew about Odysseus. Or we don't know if they even just made it up as a story to pass down from generation to generation. It's the fact that we don't know that I think makes it really difficult to pull out and identify what a hero was. And I would agree, Agamemnon's probably not the best hero, and that's kind of why I chose him. I wanted to use him to point out problems with other heroes, to kind of almost mortalize them. And I feel like Agamemnon's about as mortal as you can get, because like I said in my podcast, he really doesn't get any godly help. He's just kind of there on his own. So I feel like it's difficult for him to be considered a hero, even just because of that.
Do you think the gods are inclined to help people they see as heroes more than any other character?
I thought about that when I was kind of researching and writing down, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did. But also we see the heroes using other characters as almost like a pawn in their little game. So I wouldn't be surprised if they randomly picked it, but because Achilles and Odysseus and Diomedes all already had such big names in fighting specifically, it wouldn't be a surprise to me that that's why they chose them. They were already such a big name in the fighting specifically. I feel like we don't see Agamemnon fighting as much as we do while just kind of sitting in the corner and panicking, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Hector. This was a character that this was my Twitter character when we were doing tweets. I find Hector super fascinating. Just because I see him more as a human, more, he's the closest thing I had to a hero in my head while I was reading the Iliad. He's a family man. He's loyal. He works really hard. Once again, I think he's sort of presented as a character foil to Achilles. He's Achilles' Trojan counterpart. But he's mortal.
I feel like we don't, not like us specifically, but in general, Hector doesn't get talked about as much as he should. Because like you just said, he does really fit kind of the definition of what we think a hero is. And that includes his skills in battle and his bravery. And the fact that he knew he was going to die and he stayed outside the gates because it was his mistake that cost them, the Trojans, their kind of victory almost over the Greeks. And I think that's really important because there he's showing that he's a good leader on top of being a good fighter. And he's willing to do what he can for his troops after he made a mistake.
And I feel like, too, like I've mentioned this in my episode as well, but like, there was never going to be a happy ending for him. Like, he was up against a person who wasn't even, like, completely human and who had, like, the favor of pretty much all of the gods. So the fact that he cannot live up to what he is saying about killing Achilles and stuff is understandable, because the fact that he tried at all, even though he was up against such odds, is really heroic in my eyes.
I see Hector's character as one of irony, really, because sitting where we're at, we have the benefit of hindsight. Now, we can look back in history and see what leadership styles worked, what heroicism styles worked, who could have been the heroes throughout time in different places. But back then, they didn't. They only had the idea of a hero as a strong fighting type. They didn't even seem to consider the family man heroic. That was even looked down upon, I feel like, because the wives were the ones who stayed home with the children, and I think it was looked like as cowardly if you were a man that tried to do the same. So for Hector to be this good, upstanding family man with value might have been looked down upon back in the day. I mean, when he's fighting Ajax and Achilles, both of them mock him multiple times. I mean, that's part of war, but still, he's mocked many times for different reasons. But now, looking at it, Hector is probably the only true hero in the modern day sense who tries to lay down his life for the good of the town, who tries to be a good father and a good husband. So just the fact that Hector is almost perfectly embodying this modern sense of a hero back then when they didn't have this modern sense, it's just,
yeah, that's what's so cool about these epics, right, is that they have all these really timeless themes and topics, and like, we can still debate different aspects of the story today. Like, that's super cool that it's lasted all this time and it's still relevant. Last but not least, we have Austin's character, Diomedes. This was a character I honestly didn't give a lot of thought to. I'm not going to lie. Like, I know that he was in the book a ton, but I just kind of glanced over his sections. I'm not going to lie. Austin showed me a new appreciation for this character.
Yeah, especially after listening to all of your podcasts, I find it interesting that besides maybe Odysseus and maybe Hector, I'm the one that truly thought of their character as a hero. I mean, everyone else potentially had their fatal flaws, which they did. But from my point of view, Diomedes didn't. And in the Greek sense, I think he's the only one that was really the true hero in a sense, which is interesting because, like I mentioned at the beginning of my podcast, everybody seems to just glance
over. Yeah, I feel like, honestly, the only big scene of his that I remember and the only time that he, like, specifically stood out in my brain is his scene in, I think it was book 5, where he has Athena helping him on the battlefield and he's like cutting down all these Trojans. That's really the only thing that I think of when I think of Diomedes. There was no other scenes that really stood out to me, no matter how much he was in the book. And I think it's really interesting that so many of us just kind of glossed over him. And here you are arguing. And I have a tendency to agree with you that he really is a good hero.
Austin, I really liked the point that you made about the aggressiveness and how the Greeks valued that. And we can see that in book five, where he's just killing all of these different soldiers and everything. He becomes ready to fight, like you said, like we see his character develop over time.
Yeah, I agree with all of you pretty much. I never really saw Diomedes as a hero or a character that I really looked at, but Austin's podcast was really, really interesting to me.
What do you think that says about our perception of hero, though? So, like, if we think Diomedes is kind of like this background character, yet we are willing to make the claim that he is a hero, what does that say about our definition of hero as a whole?
I feel like, in general, a lot of heroes, like, in especially in today's society, are overlooked. Like, not everybody appreciates, I guess, heroic actions and what people do. And so I just, you know what I mean? Like, also with heroes on, like, with media today, I mean, there are so many that we decide, like, that are our favorites. And then we just sort of brush other heroes under the rug. We don't necessarily, like, read about their, or, like, buy their franchise or, like, watch all their movies and things like that. Like, it's just a lot of people who do good acts are still overlooked, even though we try to appreciate what people do for each other.
A true hero is not seeking recognition.
Yes.
And I feel like that's the problem with a lot of people in Greek culture, because they valued war so much, and people went to war because they knew that's how you would get honor. That's how you would gain value and move up in society. So not many people entered war with this selfless thought of, oh, I'm going to protect my city. And the only reason I'm going to war is to protect people and to make the world a better place. No, a lot of them are going because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go to war and you're supposed to make a name for yourself that way, especially if you come from a lower status.
Right.
What I found interesting that I just kind of realized in a way is that it's not even so much the olden Greek times has this idea of a hero versus our newer times having this idea of a hero. I think it kind of goes in cycles as the world goes. For example, you look at World War II and World War I, and the heroes were the aggressive fighters. They were the ones who won the glory for their side, the ones who won the war. There were also periods in time where that may not have been the case. In times of peace, that definitely wasn't the case. So I think it's more of a cyclical side of history as to how we portray heroes than it is olden days versus newer days. And I think it's interesting now that our society is going to one more than I've ever seen, valuing harmony and togetherness and diversity. And that really hasn't been heard of. I mean, the 60s had a little spout of it, but I'm interested to see how the idea in the portrayal of a hero goes throughout
I think this is really interesting. So
beyond after, like, we pass,
you're saying nowadays our heroes are heroes because they bring about unity. I think in a way the Greek heroes did this too. We don't really think about it that way because, you know, they're fighting and that this is war and whatever, but Achilles was a unifying force for the Greeks, and we see them fall apart when he leaves the war. We just don't think about it that way, though, right? We think about him as being like this beast, just like tearing through the army. But he really is a unifying force for the Greeks, and it's just a different kind of unity. Granted, we also value like peace nowadays, and our wars are never going to look the same again. Like, the way we fight wars, especially with technology and whatnot.
Yeah, I would say that's definitely an interesting perspective, especially because we look at it. So, like you said, Achilles is this big destroyer, but I do see where you're coming from, where he's a unifying force. I mean, we don't know if that has to do with his personality or his strength, but he's definitely a unifying force for the Greeks. I think it probably does have something to do with the fact that they know that Achilles is their best chance, so they're not going to feel as strong without Achilles there. They're not going to feel like they can win as easily because Achilles isn't there to help them. So I think that's also a perspective to look at it through.
I'd also like to argue your point that you made, Madeline, like, with Hector, I guess, because he, like, stepped up to be a leader, and he didn't necessarily have to. I mean, like, his brother Paris was technically the one who started this whole thing in the first place, so the fact that he was the one who decided to be a leader and decided to try to help the Trojans beat the Greeks, like, says a lot about him and how he unifies the people.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of Paris's respect went down the drain after he got whisked away by Aphrodite when fighting Menelaus.
Yeah.
I agree. He was my character for the tweets, actually, and I always found it interesting that now that we're on the topic of heroes, he was really the anti-hero in a way. He started this war and always just ran away. He ran away from the fight. He would only use his bow. He never really went hand-to-hand. And there were multiple scenes where he was caught just spurring on his fighters instead of actually being in the war as well. So I find it interesting that Homer also seems to put these anti-types and these anti-heroes in the Iliad, sometimes even in the Odyssey, to contrast with what he portrays as the real heroes.
Paris definitely started something that he didn't want to finish or even fight for.
And he clearly doesn't succeed in whatever he was trying to do, because we know Helen goes back with Menelaus.
Yeah. So. But it's also really interesting, because even though Paris literally just sits at the sidelines and acts super cowardly and uses his bow, he still takes out some major characters. Like, I'm pretty sure, isn't he the one who ends up killing Achilles? So the fact that he's this anti-hero and the fact that he doesn't actually, like, use his skill or do anything, like, heroic, and yet he still, like, kills off major characters is really interesting.
I feel like Homer had a lot more respect than readers do.
We spent a lot of time talking about heroes. What about villains? Do you think there's, like, a character that is a villain, or do you think the concept of villain is internalized in each character?
I feel like a lot of characters, just depending on your perspective, could be villains or not. Like, I know we've all pretty much agreed that Hector is, like, a modern-day hero in today's society, but, like, being a Greek and looking at Hector, you definitely just consider him to be a villain.
I think Poseidon in the Odyssey could also be considered a villain because he just tries to bring about so many problems for Odysseus. He does everything in his power to try to stop Odysseus from going home.
You know, there might not even be any villains in the Iliad or the Odyssey, because if you look at it today, the modern day villains are the ones who portray the Greek ideals of heroism. I mean, your modern villains are the ruthless ones who vie for destruction and who really don't give a care about people and compassion, and that's what was idolized in the Grecian sense. And on the flip side of that is the more compassionate, loving people. But back in the Greek times, I don't think they would have looked at those compassionate people as villains. I think they would have looked at them more just as cowardly. So I'm not sure that Homer even had the idea or concept of a villain at the time.
I would agree with that. I really don't think there are any true villains, because we don't have a clear definition of what a hero is. I mean, we can all find our own definitions and we can all kind of pick out characteristics, but without knowing exactly what a Greek hero is and who is the Greek hero, we can't decide a villain, because everybody's opinion is going to be different. If you're a Greek, you're going to think the Trojans are the bad villains and the enemies, but if you're a Trojan, you're going to think the same about the Greeks. And I think it all has to do with your own individual perspective in order to determine who's the villain, because you're not just looking at it from one person's side like you do in a movie like Captain America, or if you do it from any superhero movie, you don't just see one side that you're 100% rooting for.
I think that's really a perfect summary that you just made of our perspectives. Like, how can there be villains if we don't really have any clear-cut heroes?
So I think to sum it up, we all went in with these preconceived notions of what a hero is. We were really looking at it from the modern standpoint of compassionate and helpful. But I think after doing research and digging deep into these characters and really finding more about them, our eyes were opened in a way, and we realized who could have been a hero and who might have not have been a hero and who definitely wasn't a hero. So I think through this, all of our opinions were changed in a way. And for that, and for even Homer introducing this to these ideas, really makes us more critical thinkers and now better evaluators of character and of heroism. And I really think after knowing all this, we might even start looking at modern heroes differently. Who knows?
Yeah, I think the big takeaway for me is that even in my perception of modern day heroes, there's something distinctly human in all of the heroes from Greek mythology or present day, that these characters have to overcome. Like, no one's perfect. There's flaws in all of them. And what makes them a hero is how they overcome those imperfections.
Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty big takeaway for me too, especially because everybody has flaws. That's just a part of being human. And the way you deal with those flaws kind of impacts the kind of person you're going to end up being. If you take at it with anger, like every single time Achilles had a problem, he just got mad at it and was punching it. But if you take your time and slow down, you may see a different option. I think that's part of what makes you a hero, is being able to look at all those different options with your flaws. I think that's a really big takeaway that we need to remember now.
I agree with each of you. I think it's really interesting to see how our perspectives have changed on this from the beginning of where we came and now here we are.
Alrighty then. Any last words?
I think I'm good.
I'm good.
Me as well.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to Who Be the Heroes. We had a lot of fun diving into this topic and working together, talking through the text. And I think that's a wrap.